People of Note on Fine Music Radio is proudly brought to you each week at this time by Peter Turin Productions. You're listening to Fine Music Radio, and this is Rodney Trudgeon welcoming you to this week's edition of People of Note. Now, some good news here. The Cape Town Philharmonic Orchestra has announced the appointment of Lucien Lewin as chair of its board, marking the beginning of an exciting new chapter in the orchestra's leadership. Lucien was a former trombonist with the orchestra and performed with the CPO from 1998 to 2005, before pursuing his distinguished legal career. And his appointment represents a meaningful homecoming, bringing to the role not only strategic leadership and legal expertise, but the lived experience of having performed on the orchestra stage. So, first of all, Lucien, welcome and congratulations.
Thank you so much, Rodney.
I hope you're quite excited by this.
I am. A little daunted as well, not sure what's waiting for me, but I am definitely excited.
It, as we spoke about a new chapter there, because the orchestra has just appointed a new CEO in Adrian Fuchs, so the two of you have the floor to yourselves now to take the orchestra to the next level.
I think that's one of the exciting bits about being in this position for me personally. I went through the process. I was part of the board that interviewed the various candidates for artistic director and CEO of the orchestra.
Oh, right.
And so I sort of saw Adrian come through that process, and he was so impressive. He is showing that he's a really, really impressive individual. And that's, yeah, so I'm very excited about sort of us being the new blood and taking the CPO hopefully to new heights.
What does it feel like coming in as a board member or chairman of the board when you used to be on the stage with the musicians playing your trombone?
It is slightly surreal, I think. Mm-hmm. I remember when I was in the orchestra, and I was very young. I mean, I think I was 20 when I started playing in the orchestra, and I couldn't see past the section principals, because they were sort of the people. I was very nervous about it and trying to impress them. And then if you think about management, it's like, wow, these guys are just even so much higher than us. I could never sort of even speak to them.
Yeah.
And so sort of, and I now realize that that's really not the case, that we're just part of the management is and board is just part of the bigger team that tries to do what's best for the orchestra. So it was a strange experience for me, going from musician to board member, but I think it puts me in a unique position
as well. It does indeed. And also, Lucien, you were on the board initially, weren't you?
Correct.
You've been on the board for a while.
Correct. That's right.
So to step up, because Dennis Davis is still the interim chairman of the board, isn't he, until you get in properly and settle down?
That's correct, yes. So I wasn't ready to take up the position immediately, but I will be taking that position the next few months.
Okay.
Yeah.
Something to look forward to, and quite a change from your legal career, which I presume you have to leave or not.
No, not at all. So it's not a full-time position.
Not. I was thinking of the CEO for some reason.
Yes, no.
But we're talking about the chairman here.
Exactly. So I'm a non-executive board member and the chairman.
Right, right.
So I will still continue my day life my daytime job as a litigation attorney, and then moonlighting as the chair of the CPO.
Moonlighting, moonlighting.
Although I think, yeah, it's going to be, there's a lot of work cut out for me in this role.
I'm sure there is. And we talk about, as I said earlier, exciting times, because the Cape Town Philharmonic has weathered all sorts of storms over the years, including, of course, COVID. And it always seems to come out on top. It's a vibrant orchestra, isn't it, that you must be proud to be part of?
Most definitely so, Rodney. I actually must give credit to people like Louis Heinemann.
Yes, who was there for so long.
He was there from the beginning. I was there when that orchestra started.
Were you in the orchestra?
I was in the orchestra. So I was a part of the previous orchestra, the iteration of the Cape Town Philharmonic Orchestra,
right.
Which was liquidated in 2000. And this current iteration of the Cape Town Philharmonic Orchestra started in, I think it was January 2001. And I auditioned for that position, well, the position of bass trombone at the time, mm-hmm. and started with the orchestra and Louis. And I was saying to someone earlier, I remember those days were quite scary days. where we as musicians weren't quite sure whether we'd have a job the next month. We were literally living from month to month, couldn't plan into the future. And then to see 25 years later, and as you say, having gone through huge obstacles like COVID, where most businesses went bust, for that orchestra, for this orchestra to have survived all of that, I think is a huge testimony to Louis Heinemann and also our previous chairman, Derek Orette, who did a superb job. So I think I'm quite excited about taking on from there, but also it's quite daunting as well, yes, having to live in that sort of
some trepidation. Boots.
Exactly,
I'm sure.
Exactly.
But it sounds as though you are very excited. And so I want to find out all sorts of things about you, Lucine, like, for example, your interest in law and how that came about. But before that, let's hear some music. What is your first piece that you've chosen to share with us?
So I was asked to share music that has a special meaning to me. And I've therefore I'm sharing Sousa's Stars and Stripes Forever, it's not sort of one of your quintessential, wonderful, beautiful classical pieces. It's a march. But I think I first was exposed to it as a 12-year-old, going to a school concert, a high school concert. So I was in standard 5 or grade 7 at the time in primary school, and I was thinking about going to this high school because it had a wonderful music department. And I heard them play the Stars and Stripes by Sousa. And what struck me, believe it or not, were the trombone entries, which is why it stuck with me. In fact, one of the ex-pupils of that, and was also a member of the K-Pop Orchestra, trombone player Albert Engel, he was playing in that orchestra, and it just struck me, and I was amazed.
Well, Sousa used the trombone incredibly well, pretty well in all his marches, didn't he? He must have liked it.
Absolutely, yes. It always was a challenge playing a Sousa march. It wasn't a pom, pom, pom kind of thing. You had to have some dexterity to get through some of his works.
Let's listen to The Stars and Stripes Forever by John Philip Sousa.
Thank you.
Well, what better than a Sousa March? I've always liked the Sousa Marches. It was the first choice of my guest, Lucien Lewin, who's just been appointed the new board chairman of the Cape Town Philharmonic Orchestra. And certainly that piece shows off the trombones. Like Gustav Holst, Lucien, have you ever played Gustav Holst's music?
Love the Planets.
Yes. He used to play the trombone.
I didn't know that.
So you play bass trombone, do you?
That was what I did in the orchestra. Oh, okay. I played tenor and bass, but when I was employed by the orchestra, I was the principal bass trombone.
Okay. And there's some lovely parts in orchestration written for trombone, as we'll hear, because I see surreptitiously you've got trombone pieces coming up. Yes. But let's just get back to you, and I'd like to find out now where the legal side of your life comes in. So there you were playing the trombone. And then what happened?
Yeah, that's a question I get asked quite a bit.
I'm sure.
Music law, it's a weird combination. So I think it started when, as I mentioned earlier, 2000, the orchestra was liquidated, the old Cape Town Philharmonic Orchestra. And it was a bit of a shock to me as a sort of a young person coming into this industry and starting his career and then going, oh, I don't have a job. And I realized that it was really important for me just to get something else behind my name other than a Bachelor of Music.
Right. So you already had a Bachelor of Music?
I had a Bachelor of Music, correct. Yeah, yeah. So I graduated from the South African College of Music with a Bachelor of Music, a general degree, and was working with the orchestra. And then my father was a lawyer. And I thought, I wonder if that would be something that would be good to start learning.
Yeah.
And I started studying through UNISA. While playing in the pit, doing law of contract.
With your book in front of you.
With my book in front of me through the long pauses or the rests that the trombones have for some sort of opera. Right. And eventually in 2005, I actually decided I needed to get this over with. And that's when I left the orchestra and pursued a full-time degree at the University of Cape Town with my law degree.
That's correct. Because it's not the easiest of degrees, law. To tackle law and to decide to take it on is a bit of a challenge.
It is a challenge, but I think there are a lot of similarities or a lot of characteristics which is required from musicians that is also required from lawyers. I remember I would be studying in the library at UCT doing my law degree, and people would come to me and say, "Lucien, we see you sitting at your desk studying at 8 in the morning, and we come back into the library at 5 in the afternoon, and you're still in the exact same position. How do you do that?" And I thought about that, and I thought, well, actually, standing in a practice room trying to get the scale right, you spend hours and hours
because
you have to. That was what was necessary to become a good musician.
Yeah.
And so that I was able to take that into my law studies, and I think it served me well.
Gosh. And then what happened? And you graduated?
I graduated with a law degree, and I did my articles at law firm, a large law firm, Edward Nathan Sonnenberg's ENS Africa. I did my articles there. I would still play the trombone part-time as well. So I would play in various, I'd sometimes stand in for someone in the orchestra who couldn't make it, or play in ad hoc orchestras or jazz bands and that kind of thing. So by night playing music, and by day immersed in law, yes. And that was how my path in law started. I was a candidate attorney at Edward Nathan Sonnenberg's. From there, I moved into in-house legal, working for a company as their legal advisor. And then eventually ended up where I came back into practice and ended up where I am right now, which is Bowman's.
Oh, you're at Bowman's.
Of course you are.
That's just clicked, because I knew someone at Bowman's and they said that I think you took over his job, Simon Bob.
So Simon Dodd I didn't take over his job in a professional role, but he was a business development manager at Bowman's.
Right,
he was the one who started the Friends of Orchestral Music soirees. Right.
That was the link.
He got that started with Louise Howlett.
Yes.
And he actually and one of my partners at Bowman's, James McKinnell, started that. And so when I came in, James said, "Simon's left. I need someone to help me keep these things going because they're amazing. And I know you love music. So James and I sort of try and make sure that those soirees happen at Bowman's every year.
So you are involved with the soirees.
That's exactly right.
Oh, yeah. Excellent. And then when did you join the board of the Cape Town Philharmonic? What made you want to go back?
I was actually through those soirees and my involvement there that Derek Aurette and Louis Heinemann, who were attending one of the soirees, approached me and said, "Lucien, would you ever consider coming back to the orchestra as a board member?" And their reasoning was, "We think that you have the expertise now that you've got the business sort of development behind you as a lawyer, and knowing what it was like being in the orchestra and understanding and loving music. We'd love you if you could join us." And I thought, wow, that's an amazing opportunity to get back into music.
And so you joined up.
So I joined up.
I
think it was June 2024, I think it was.
Okay, yes. So relatively recent. But you've had a good 2 years or so on the board
then.
Yes,
absolutely.
And I know among the many comments and articles written about you having joined, the orchestra is lucky to have someone with a legal mind as chair as well.
Yeah, I hope that will sort of serve the orchestra, that my knowledge there. But I mean, we still have Judge Dennis Davis on the board.
Yes, you do.
So I don't think there's a desperate need for legal minds.
And he's such a personality as well.
He
was on television.
Yes, yes.
And he also loves music passionately and seems to know quite a lot about it.
He does. I learned that about him when I started serving on the board with him. I've appeared before him in court many years ago.
Oh, against him?
No, he was the judge.
Oh, I see. Oh, he was the judge. Okay.
I got to know him a little better personally since being on the board, and he's a wonderful, wonderful individual.
Yeah. And as we said, he's interim now, he's acting chairman, isn't he?
Correct.
Till you are ready to take over and fill his shoes and those of Derek Aurette.
Indeed.
Okay, now, Lucien, another piece of music. You've got Saint-Saëns, the organ symphony. Now, what have you chosen from this vast work?
So I've chosen the slow movement of this. And I love the Saint-Saëns organ symphony. I've played it a few times, and I think the whole work is magnificent. But the second movement has particular relevance to me because I played it for the first time when I was, it was actually my first time playing principal trombone for the UCT Symphony Orchestra.
Oh, yes. Oh,
and
yes.
You will recall that the second movement has the melody being taken on by the clarinet, the third horn, not the first horn, funnily enough, and the first trombone. And
interesting combination.
It is a very interesting combination.
And an interesting sound.
And it works so well.
It really works
so well. And I remember working on that very, very hard, trying to get that absolutely right.
Because intonation, you'd have to be completely perfect.
Precisely.
With your slide.
Yeah, lots of slide control.
I
remember sitting with my teacher at the time, who was the principal trombone of the previous Cape Town Philharmonic, Willie Haubrich, and him working on that solo with me really, really hard. And it's got a very special memory to me. I should also say, if my wife's listening, that it was the first time we played in an orchestra together.
Oh, really?
And,
is your wife a musician as well?
She used to play in the orchestra. She used to play the French horn, yes. And we were sort of across the brass section playing that together.
What a nice romantic story. Okay, let's hear then part of the second movement of the Organ Symphony by Saint-Saëns. Thank you. part of that beautiful slow movement of the Organ Symphony by Saint-Saëns, Symphony No. 3, and another choice of my guest here, who's Lucien Lewin, the new chairman of the board of the CPO, the Cape Town Philharmonic Orchestra. And as you heard him say earlier, he played in the orchestra and in that symphony as well, the bass trombone. Now, Lucien, I just want to find out where music came from in your life. When did you start wanting to be a musician?
I started playing the piano at the age of 9 at my primary school. Standard 2, grade 4. And I was, my aunt was actually the music teacher. And I come from a family who loved music and was very involved in music. My grandfather was a founding member of a choir, a men's choir called the Peninsular Choristers. And he loved music and he sort of imparted that to his children, and that eventually got imparted to me. I started playing the piano as a young nine-year-old, and it just grew. The love for music grew in me.
Did your piano playing grow as well? Did you give up?
No, I actually did it in my first year of university as my first instrument. At the College of Music at UCT, but I dropped it as a formal sort of instrument after my second year, so that I could focus on the trombone, because I realized that was where I was going to want to get a job, not as a concert pianist, but rather as maybe a tutti trombone player.
What attracted you to the trombone?
It's quite interesting. I actually, when I was at a school called Heathfield High School. In fact, one of our board members was my teacher, my music teacher.
What Felicia, are your current board
my
members?
Current board members, Felicia yeah. Lesh,
right?
And she was a huge part of the development of my love for music. She taught me music as a subject, and she was amazing. And we had an orchestra, and I really wanted to play in the orchestra, but I couldn't as a piano player. So I started learning the violin first.
Oh dear.
And I did that for about 2 years and got bullied terribly at school whenever I'd walk in with my violin case and thought, I need to do something maybe a little bit that won't get me as much bullied. And I thought, and
something a little more macho.
Exactly. And the school got a donation of brass instruments. And I thought, I should play the trumpet. And I said, I'd like to play the trumpet. And they said, oh, well, all the trumpets have been given away, but there's a trombone. I was like, okay, I'll give the trombone a try.
Oh, it's happened like that.
Unfortunately, we are. And so I started playing the trombone. And in fact, one of my first teachers was one of the trumpet players in this current orchestra, Pierre Schuster.
He started
teaching me the trombone. And I did that all of the way to matric and then went into
at UCT as well, because the trombone is I always think it's the cello of the brass. It's a lovely mellow instrument a lot of the time, although it can, as we hear in Sousa, really blow your hair back. But it's a lovely mellow instrument, isn't it?
It is, and it has a very vocal quality to it as well, and partly because you don't have frets or valves. It's all done on the slide, so it does exactly what the voice can do. And I remember my lecturer at UCT, Sean Kierman, used to get me to sing my pieces before I played them. He said, you want to try and emulate the voice. That's what you want to try and do.
Wow.
So that's I mean, I love the power of the trombones, but when it plays melodies, it is just one of the most beautiful, beautiful sounds.
Yeah, and there are beautiful pieces for trombone in the symphonic repertoire. You think of Mahler 2 or Brahms 1. Beautiful. And Beethoven used it, as we're about to find out, brought it into the orchestral symphony for the first time in history with the Fifth Symphony. But
well, there was the Mozart Requiem has the tuba mirum.
That's right.
Which is
famous.
Which is the way he used it was so revolutionary.
Mm-hmm. But there, the singer then emulates the trombone, because the trombone sets the whole scene.
Absolutely.
Sounding as though he's the baritone or the bass or whatever.
Absolutely,
it is.
Yes. That's exactly right.
Is it one of the tricky instruments? I know all instruments are tricky in their own way, but is it difficult to get a sound out of the trombone?
I think, I don't.
I know it's possibly difficult to ask.
No. When you start out, it is quite difficult to get a sound. I don't think it's one of the more difficult instruments in the orchestra.
Right.
I think, to be honest with you, the probably the most tricky brass instrument to play in the orchestra is the first horn.
Yes,
because it's so much higher in the harmonic series.
Yes,
the chances of you splitting notes.
Yes.
Are a lot more.
And you do hear that in professional orchestras quite frequently because of the difficulty of
that. And it's not only that; it's also very exposed. It gets used in a lot more sort of soloistic way.
Yes.
Than the trombone or even the trumpet obviously gets used like that quite often. But I think the first horn is probably the trickiest brass instrument. The trombone's not. I was very grateful I wasn't a first horn.
Right. Well, they have, for example, that beautiful solo in the second movement of Tchaikovsky's Fifth Symphony. Every horn player must love to play that.
Absolutely.
And be a little bit nervous, I would have thought.
Absolutely. There are lyrics which go to that tune.
Are they decent?
I think I can say them on air.
Okay.
No, it goes sort of, why am I nervous? So very nervous.
Okay. Because there's another one in the Tchaikovsky Five that's not to be said on air. So you won't go there. Mm. To do with the main leitmotif. Bam, ba ba bam, ba ba bam, bam.
Yes, of course.
Do you know that?
Yes.
I mean the story that goes
with it. No.
Okay, I'm not going to tell you now. I'll tell you while the music's playing.
I will listen then.
Because now we've got Beethoven Five. Now, we spoke about this, and it's the trombone's first entry in a symphony, all three trombones. You know what I like watching? Is when you're listening to Beethoven 5 during that bridge passage, which is so soft, you see the trombones lifting, sliding, getting their lips ready, because they come in with quite powerfully, don't they?
They do, after not playing for
the
almost
whole
half an hour.
Yeah.
And the first trombone particularly comes in on a high C, which is quite high, and to coming clean on that, and so it's quite a tricky piece for the trombones, but it's such a triumphant. I think the trombones give it such a triumphant.
They
sound.
Do. They make it sound regal as well.
Yes,
triumphant and regal.
Yes.
So shall we listen from there, from when the trombones come in?
Wonderful.
So it's the fourth movement of Beethoven's Symphony Number 5.
Thank you.
That's the overwhelmingly triumphant last movement, the fourth movement of the Symphony No. 5 by Beethoven, ending in a blaze of C major after being in C minor at the beginning. And that was another choice of my guest on People of Note this week, brought to you by Peter Turin Productions. And his name is Lucien Lewin, the new board chairman of the Cape Town Philharmonic. Let's just talk about the job that lies ahead for you and Adrian Fuchs, the new CEO of the board. But classical music is known to be quite intimidating for a lot of people. And the orchestra does a lot of outreach work already, doesn't it? So are you going to try and keep that as a strong part of the orchestra's life?
I think it's essential.
I'm glad you said that. To
the life of the orchestra and the continued existence of the orchestra. If we don't have people who listen to the orchestra, then what are we doing?
Exactly.
And
exactly.
We only get people to start listening to the orchestra when they know about it.
Mm-hmm.
And so education is extremely important. And also we don't want to only appeal to a small section of the population. We want to appeal to as many people as possible.
And in all different communities as well.
Precisely.
Importantly.
And I think, you know, sort of the legacy of apartheid sort of created this thing where the orchestra is this European entity that is only for sort of
certain
white people,
yeah,
kind
yeah.
of thing, you know. And we needed that needed to change. And I, again, don't want to undermine or underemphasize, or not, I don't know if underemphasize is a word, not emphasize
yes.
what the orchestra has done in that regard. Its outreach has been crucial in making the orchestra itself so much more representative of the people of Cape Town.
Yeah, yeah.
There are a number of players in the orchestra who've come through the ranks, starting with these with lessons by orchestra members in the early 2000s, to coming into the Cape Town Philharmonic Youth Orchestra, the Wind Band, the Wind Ensemble, and actually finding positions in the orchestra. When I started playing in the orchestra, it was a wonderful ensemble. It played, the people were phenomenal musicians, and they created wonderful music. I think of the old Cape Town Symphony Orchestra. But you probably find that 80% of those people were not South African, and I don't think there were any people of color in the orchestra, maybe one person of color in the orchestra. And that didn't help its image for people in our sort of more underprivileged communities to create an image of or have them aspire to being a part of that.
Exactly.
Because they don't see people like
exactly.
them. This is not for me, it's for those people.
Those people, yes, yes.
And so what the orchestra has done since its inception in 2001 was plugged heavily into education, into grassroots education. And today if you sit in City Hall watching a symphony concert, people will see an orchestra which is a lot more reflective of the people of Cape Town, of the Western Cape, of South Africa.
Yes. And you have to work on the audience in that respect as well. Because when you are sitting in the City Hall, you see mostly white people at the moment, although more and more people of color are beginning to come to the concerts. And I was talking to an orchestra member. They were going out to David Langford, who was the bass trombone.
Yes.
Still is sometimes, who's now the orchestra manager. And they were going to a school that day when I interviewed him. And he said, you've no idea how excited the children get in these underprivileged communities when they see a full symphony orchestra on stage playing music that they can relate to, like from Pirates of the Caribbean or whatever, but still seeing a large symphony orchestra working with a conductor.
Absolutely. I think there's just something absolutely magical about that sound.
Mm-hmm.
And not just hearing it, but seeing it.
That's the thing. You can hear it easily, but it's not like seeing
Precisely.
It. Precisely. The arts in this country, how do you feel? Are they being... We've just had this National Arts Council cut from Gayton McKenzie, which I hope is not going to affect the orchestra in any way. But what do you see as some of the biggest challenges facing you as chairman of this orchestra?
I think one of the biggest challenges, I think, is the challenge which most orchestras in the world have, and that is funding.
Mm-hmm.
That is procuring funding and accessing new funds as well, funds from
yes.
other sources.
Yes.
Diversifying our funding.
Right.
At the moment, we get a fair amount of funding from government. But as we know, that we can never be assured of that, and it just takes bad financial times for the government to say, well, we've got to focus on something else, and then mm-hmm. what do we do? So I think diversifying our funding sources is extremely important, and that's going to be a huge task for us to achieve. And when I say, I think also the corporates out there, I think we need to get more corporate buy-in into the arts, into orchestra, the functioning of the orchestra, because those are the, I think, sorry, that those kinds of, that kind of funding will help us get this diversification that we mm-hmm. need. So you've got government, you've got corporate, and you've got individuals as well, and some wealthy sort of families.
Yes. You've got the patrons who spend some of them quite a lot. They get the platinum circle and the gold circle and all that.
Precisely. But I think that it sort of goes hand in hand with your previous question about education and appealing to a broader demographic. I think people will want to get involved with the orchestra if they see that it is an orchestra for all. Because brands want to be seen as good for the
yes,
community.
Yes, you're absolutely right.
And if they see that the Cape Philharmonic is good for the community as a whole, not just for a specific or niche section of them, they will want to be associated with the Cape Philharmonic's brand. And so I think our education programs and our reaching out to communities, also not just drawing them into the orchestra itself, but as you said earlier, drawing them into the audience, mm-hmm. having varied communities there, is going to increase our visibility with regard to corporates, because they'll want to be associated with us.
That's a good point, absolutely. Yeah. And look, Lucy, it's a busy and versatile orchestra, isn't it? Because apart from the symphony concerts, and we spoke about their outreach to schools and things, it does our ballets, it does our operas, it does some musicals even. So it's a busy orchestra.
It is extremely busy, and it's necessary.
And versatile. It makes it versatile.
Absolutely. Yes, absolutely. It's not just one kind of music that they play. It's a variety of things. One of the things that I think is so important that this orchestra does do is it doesn't expect its audience to come to it. It goes to its audience.
Oh, that's a good point. I never thought of that, but you're right.
And that is, that is so important. If you are wanting to make it more accessible to a broader part of our population, mm-hmm. you need to go to the places where the population is.
Yes.
Not expect them to come out to City Hall on a Thursday night. And this orchestra does that really, really well. They were in Grassy Park a few months ago. They go to schools in various areas,
including underprivileged areas.
Particularly, I think especially underprivileged areas, mm-hmm. because that's where we want to be known,
and you want to grow that audience as well.
Absolutely.
And the Cape, just let's touch briefly on the Cape Philharmonic Youth Orchestra, which also falls under the board, doesn't it?
Correct.
Because that is hugely important. For a musician to get into that orchestra really gives them an opportunity ultimately of joining the main orchestra.
Absolutely. It's a wonderful feeder for the main orchestra. When I was a student, I had to somehow impress the members of the orchestra without actually being in the orchestra or being in a feeder orchestra.
Right.
And the CPYO creates that environment for young talented musicians to catch the eye of the powers that be in the main orchestra, mm-hmm. and target them and say, you guys, we're going to groom you to get into this orchestra.
Did that more or less happen with you?
No. So what had happened was the way I got into the orchestra was there was a vacancy, and they needed someone urgently. And it was a friend of mine who was studying with me, studying the trombone with me, Alison, and I were given an opportunity to come and play and fill that spot. And at the time, we weren't at the level that we needed to be a fully fledged professional orchestral musician, and the orchestra at the time started an apprentice program for us, where we our funding was accessed, and we got the principal trombone Willie Harbrecht and the sub principal trombone Nick Green to start tutoring us and working with us during the day, and then at night we would play with the orchestra as well. And it was a wonderful experience for us.
My goodness.
And that's how we got in. It was a bit of luck. Yes. To be honest, if that trombone player never left, I would probably never be, I wouldn't be sitting here today.
Well, you never know. You never know. Again, just going back to the CPYO again, Lucien, I think it's a wonderful idea that they have them playing as a curtain raiser to some of the main concerts, because the audience sees what the orchestra is actually doing by creating this youth orchestra and hearing them play so well.
Completely. I couldn't agree more. And it's also giving them an opportunity to be on the City Hall stage for an audience there for a symphony concert as well.
Exactly.
So it's sort of a wonderful symbiosis. Which assists both the youth orchestra and the main orchestra and the audience as well.
So, Lucien, I would say that you've got quite an exciting, challenging job ahead of you as chairman of this wonderful orchestra. And as you know, we have a very close relationship with the CPO, with Adrian Fuchs. And this season that's just started is his first as artistic director, isn't it? It's the first time he's chosen the actual music.
That's right.
And you're here as well. So things are looking good. Before I let you go, choose another piece of music. Bernstein, I see, is lurking here with a bit of a story.
Yes, so Bernstein's Overture to Candide is one of my favorite pieces. And it's probably also wrapped up in the fact that I played it for the first time or performed it for the first time with the previous iteration of the Cape Town Philharmonic Orchestra in the Canary Islands. There was a huge festival happening in the Canary Islands. I think it was in 2000, just before the orchestra closed down.
Oh, right.
And the orchestras from all over the world flew into the Canary Islands, and there was about 6 weeks of orchestral extravaganza.
Yes.
With different orchestras playing
must
every
have
night.
Fun.
It was wonderful. And one of the pieces that we played was the Overture to Candide with Bernard Gurler conducting.
Oh, was he conducting?
He was conducting that. And it was it just stands out in my memory as a really, really exciting time.
Is there a good trombone part in it?
It's very meaty.
Because it's such an energetic overture.
It is.
In 4 minutes or 5 minutes, you almost feel exhausted listening
completely.
To it, let alone playing it. So let's end with that. And I've been talking on People of Note this week to Lucien Lewin, who's our new chairman, the new chairman of the board of the Cape Town Philharmonic Orchestra. Lucien, all the best. Welcome. And I look forward to seeing what you do as chairman.
Thank you so much, Rodney.
People of Note on Fine Music Radio was proudly brought to you by Peter Turin Productions. FMR.